It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Here to give an update on public safety-related matters is Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez. It's a timely conversation following the recent election where statewide Proposition 36 related to criminal offenses passed. Also, a one-cent sales tax measure for the county failed. Sheriff Vasquez, it's good to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure to be here, BJ. Thanks for having me.
So first off, Proposition 36, this was a statewide measure. It did pass on Election Day. Can you explain a little bit about what it all entails and how it impacts you and deputies with the Sheriff's Office?
Oh, for sure. And I think that, to address just Prop 36, I think that to summarize it in the most layman's terms is people are seeing how crime's affecting their quality of life, not just in Tuolumne County, but in the entire state of California. And if you remember back in 2014 when Prop 47, which was presented to the voters as, I believe, the Safe Schools Act, it was to reduce certain levels of crime from felonies to misdemeanors, specifically property crimes and some drug crimes as well. And I want to say that originally that money, where it was supposed to come from the savings, was supposed to go to schools to, you know, combat truancy, and it was to go to mental health services and other types of services to combat recidivism. And I think that what we're seeing is that there are other repercussions associated with that, what might have been a noble cause or what the people thought was a noble cause at the time. But we're seeing what the backlash is, and that is that with a lack of consequence, you're going to see those levels of crime that were reduced from felonies to misdemeanors starting to rise. So nonetheless, quality of life suffers. And I think that now we're seeing what was I put on the ballot, and by the people who supported Prop 36, I was one of them. We saw slogans and bylines that would say things like, end the suffering on the streets, or take your community back. And I think in a succinct way, I think that does ring true. And it is the voice of the people that said we need to improve quality of life. We need to really take a look at the things that we're going to tolerate by lowering the penalties. And when I say penalties, not just reclassifying certain crimes related to property and drugs back to being felonies, but also meaningful programs. And I think that you'll hear at great length with all the justice partners that say, you know, programs are great, but they need to be meaningful. And we need to have more teeth, if you will, to be able to hold folks accountable to complete those programs. In that way, it's a whole approach to addressing the issues. But in a very short way of saying that is that we are looking at that. The people did pass it, so we're going to see those crimes associated with theft and drugs reclassified to felonies. It also gives judges the authority and actually mandates that they admonish drug offenders that if they are caught selling drugs, specifically I believe they highlighted fentanyl, that they could be charged with murder. And I will tell you right now that we have had our finger on the pulse as the sheriff's office that something like Prop 36 would be coming down the pipeline, because we have been seeing those trends for many years now. I'm very grateful that the people spoke and utilized the full scope of their authority to pass it. It couldn't be more perfect timing with us bringing back the Tuolumne Narcotics Team to specifically target those types of crimes. We do have those types of crimes in Tuolumne County, and if you pay attention to our stat sheets that come out monthly, you'll see, you know, that there's Narcan deployments, there's specific highlights of fentanyl cases, as well as total incidences and different types of mental health calls that we closely attribute that can be related, but not always. We keep track of those things, and we're seeing that trend, which drives those decisions to bring things like the Tuolumne Narcotics Team back to target these types of crimes. It's so important. It's a financial opportunity that people are capitalizing on, and it's killing people in our community. And, you know, I know that there's people that have mixed feelings about how this crisis is affecting the community, but I will tell you right now, there is never one person who suffers from these types of crimes. It affects families, it affects our community as a whole, and we have to give it our highest level of attention. With that, if you were to Google and look on the LAO's office, which is our the California State Legislative Analyst Office, they did a fiscal analysis on there, and they do anticipate that there will be an increase in costs. There will be an increase of costs because the workload in the courts is going to increase. The workload with our district attorney is going to increase. The workload has already been increased with the sheriff's office and also people in custody, because when you have crimes that are reclassified from misdemeanor to felony, and that means that there's a potential for more time in jail or time in custody. And so therefore, staffing and other resources available to law enforcement and the justice system as a whole has to be sustained in order to carry out the will of the people. And so in a nutshell, I hope I answered that question. There's a lot of history in there, but I think to really understand that Prop 36 was the people's way of kind of saying maybe oops a little bit to Prop 47, because we've seen and we now have the consequential knowledge of what it's done to our communities. I think that that's where we're sitting today. And that's what it means for us in the sheriff's office as well.
I've heard you raise concerns about the fentanyl crisis in past times and on past shows, but for people who haven't been following that issue closely, what is kind of the difference between fentanyl and the level of concern with, say, just other drugs that you've seen over the years?
Well, I'll say the number one thing that we're seeing with fentanyl is how lethal it is. And the level of awareness of what people are buying, what they think they're buying, and the fact that fentanyl can be placed in any controlled substance. Again, you know, and I recently said that we see this and we are seeing the trends, that this is a financial opportunity for people who are capitalizing and preying on our communities. And the money is so good that it's driving the behavior of people selling this. Now, I will also say this, on the opposite side of that spectrum, we are getting people who are tired of it, who once were involved in that type of behavior, calling and reporting these crimes, because it is killing people. And to highlight that, you could have one person who buys a gram of fentanyl from one person and has a tolerance, and maybe they're suffering addiction, and they use that fentanyl for X amount of time. Then they go buy another gram of that same, or not the same, but what they think is the same substance, and it's more potent, and it's killing them. We see that all the time. And I'll tell you right now, we just had a call for service, I believe it was last night, in the Jamestown area. And not to get too far into the details of that, but our deputies responded to a call for service where they were not able to save life. There was controlled substance seized from that. And the driving factors and all the evidence points right towards fentanyl. And that's just, again, last night. And that's one of many. It's killing people in record numbers like we've never seen before. And I believe some of our other community partners, our health officer, Dr. Freeman, and one of the partners from Tuolumne County Superintendent of Schools also just did some presentations regarding drugs for Red Ribbon Week and making sure that, you know, awareness is up. And it's all of our concern, but it doesn't affect any one entity. It's everyone. It's the sheriff's office. It's your health and human services. It's schools. I mean, fentanyl is everywhere, and we're seeing it marketed like candy. It's, you know, they're capitalizing on, you know, special colors and rainbow patterns, and there's pill presses where people are under the impression that they're selling or buying one substance, and it's really not. And it truly is killing people. And that data is out there, and I would tell parents and families that this is a time more than ever we have to take ownership over the people we care about and our neighbors, to educate each other. It's sad that in this day and age you have to tell your child at school, don't take candy from other kids, don't take anything from anybody else, because you never know what kids are bringing to school. And I'll tell you right now, there are calls for service where school administrations, and rightfully so, are reaching out to us saying, hey, we found this. We don't know what it is. And we send deputies out there to navigate those issues. But it's scary because you don't know what kids are bringing to school. They don't know what they're bringing to school. Sometimes this stuff looks like candy. And so that's not meant to be a scare tactic. That's a fact. And those are the biggest concerns with fentanyl, is how fast it will kill you. And even individuals that have a tolerance for the substance, it's killing them as well.
And explain a little bit, what are you doing in response to increasing narcotics enforcement?
Right now, the narcotics team is a full-time enforcement team where they take on cases and incidences that are in-depth and oftentimes very dangerous, that they exceed the capabilities of a standard patrol function. There is a lot that goes into investigating these cases, BJ, and I'll tell you right now, when I served in TNT, I was a TNT agent for about 3 years here in this county, and the difference between, say, 2012 and 2013 cases and how you have to investigate them, it's no different than any other crime. Individuals who are participating in this devastating crimes to our community, they're using technology. And anytime you get involved with technology, we as the sheriff's office and my deputies, they have to navigate the search warrant process. They have to navigate cautiously all of the precedent that comes down from the courts and that sometimes make it more difficult or more lengthily to investigate these crimes and get the results that would bring these individuals to justice. And so it requires full-time effort. And that team right now used to be at one time, pre-2014, heavily funded on grants associated with drug enforcement. And I think that with the legislation, as we've seen it change since 2014, that grant money has gone away, which is why you saw, part of the reason why you saw TNT go away in 2018, which was one, we didn't have the staffing to keep up. We had to pull those collateral assignments back central so we could staff 911. And when the funding went away, it was very difficult to sustain those efforts. But I think now it's been a big wake-up call between now and then of what it's going to take our communities back, keep our families and our children safe. And that is to invest in a very meaningful way and make it the highest priority to protect our community. And that is by addressing these issues. And it's not just here in Tuolumne County. We work closely with our allied partners who have the same challenges, whether that's in Stanislaus County, Calaveras, Mariposa. In order to be effective, we have to band together. And that's, it's going to be a wholehearted effort, but it's a noble cause and the people are worth it.
Need to take a quick break. We're talking with Sheriff David Vasquez of Tuolumne County on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez on law enforcement issues in Tuolumne County on this weekend show. Sheriff Vasquez, next thing I'm going to ask you about is Measure Z, the 1 cent sales tax measure, went down in defeat on Election Day. That would have brought some extra money to the county. I'm curious, is that going down in defeat going to have an impact, a notable impact on the sheriff's office?
I would just say that notable impact on the sheriff's office. I think that when we talk about sustainability, and this is just looking through my lens as the sheriff and what my best efforts look like for the people, we had a series of town halls that the County Board of Supervisors and County Administration had organized, and I attended every single one of them as being on that team for how our values exist together and what vision looks like. Now, I exist for no other reason but to protect this county and the community and the people in it. And so for me, I'll tell you right now, I supported Measure Z both in the public and in statements because I believe in sustainability. And when I talk about sustainability, I have the consequential knowledge of what our office looked like, say, 3 years ago and devastating staffing levels. Devastating staffing levels to the point where we were a sergeant and three, if we were lucky, to patrol and respond to 911 calls. We had collapsed detective positions. We had collapsed TNT. We had collapsed several other collateral assignments that we weren't staffing full time just to pull those resources central. I'm not saying that the failure of Measure Z means that we're going back to that, nor did I say that at any one of these town halls that I participated at and spoke at most of. As a matter of fact, I told the people this. Regardless of what happens in November, you can always count on me to advocate for a fully funded sheriff's office. And that's exactly what I plan to do. Because I have that consequential knowledge of what happens when you don't invest. And I've had people very candidly share with me about how they don't support taxes. Nobody likes taxes. I don't know that I've met anybody that says, oh, I love taxes, I like taxes, here's where we need to be. But I think when you start looking at through the lens of, you know, how people feel about the economy right now, what survival looks like in the households, it's no wonder to me that that people voted no on Measure Z, not because of all of those things, but also because of the level of distrust that they have voiced to me personally in one-on-one conversations and also in group settings. And the people are not wrong for how they feel. I think that there is a great success in any time that the people use their voice to either vote yes or vote no on something. And I think that while we're paying attention to Measure Z, and I believe there was probably about a 2,000 vote margin there, maybe even more, the people spoke loud and clear as to what they wanted. And their voice is what guides me and fuels me to continue to advocate for them. But let's also talk about Measure A, which was a huge reason why I found that my values would exist in a place where we could move together and support that measure was, I want people to know. And the language was very specific. And prior to putting my support behind that, I said, here's what needs to be clear, and here's how we need to present this to the public. And I said the same thing at every one of these town halls that we attended, was we have to have a layer of accountability. There is a lack of trust. And I'm not pointing my finger at any, you know, county officials or administrators or any of that. That's not what this is about. But this is about culture where the people have seen and have experiences that we all have to reflect on that is driving that distrust. Now, whether it's, you could say, you know, I've heard, you know, people blame other boards or blame past boards, blame current boards, blame last administrators, all of those. That doesn't get us anywhere, and that has the least of my energy. I make it a point to focus all my energy on what it's going to take to protect this county. And where Measure Z, for me, was sustainability moving forward. Because people are saying, well, there's money that exists in this county budget that I think should be done differently. They're not wrong. That's their feelings. That's what they think. They have to use their voice to reach out and drive that movement to their local governing board to say, we want this. And I will tell you right now, BJ, I heard the people loud and clear with Measure A that had overwhelming support that said, here's three priorities that you promised us that we would budget this way. I'm going to double down on that. We had more people vote in that for that measure than in Measure Z, because if you look and you match the numbers associated with people and how they want that to be prioritized, it's not just limited. That's people telling you what their vision is and where they want to be. What I took from this election was not that no to Z ever. It was no to Z right now. And I think that there's overwhelming opinion that they want to see some change in how budget is done and what budget looks like. And I would be remiss if I said that there isn't always room for growth. And I will share that earlier in this year, back in the month of May, there was some information presented to me that would suggest that I need to reduce my budget by 9.5% from every cost center. Now, if you're doing the math, I was appointed in March and May. Boy, that's not much of a honeymoon phase. So we knew right away, and that was the first audition to the people, is that I will always advocate and I will do everything I can in my power to keep these services whole. But it won't just be on me. It will be with the support and the full scope of the authority of the people. That's what that looks like for me. That's what my vision is moving forward. Would Measure Z have made that effort probably a little bit easier? Maybe, possibly. But I think, you know, the things that are easy don't always give you the most fulfillment, and there's room for growth that the people are demanding. And I think that we need to really reflect on what that looks like and how the people have used their voice. And I think that once some of those things are done and we've checked those boxes as a government, I think they'll be more apt to say, okay, we believe in what that looks like, and we're going to fund that. We've remained since May funded to a point where we can provide those services, and that was through heavy advocating to our current Board of Supervisors. And here's another thing. They listened. You know, I can tell you that when I came to them and I said, here are the real problems that we are experiencing, and here's the consequential knowledge that far exceeds my time as sheriff, here's what I intend to do about it, and here's the support, we got that support right now. We have it right now as we're moving forward. The big question will be for next year's budget. My intent is to still provide these services. And with the way that we've done it now, we are capitalizing on all of the special departmental revenue that we can to create that relief in what the people's dollars look like locally. Because a lot of the things that we have to address come down from state legislature. And what better way than to use that special departmental revenue that's not specifically our local general fund dollars than to improve quality of life with that? And that's the same philosophy I have with grant funds. I believe that, yes, accept grant funds where you can. I don't think we should be creating a ton of overhead with grant funds. I think we should be supplementing existing positions that we have with those grant funds to ensure that we can continue that high quality and level of service. So I know that's a very long answer, but it's all very relevant to what it looks like. And the people are not wrong. The people are correct. And they use their voice. And like I said, that's what fuels me moving forward.
You mentioned keeping staffing is key. Does it change at all long-term planning? Because I know you have some serious infrastructure needs when it comes to things like dispatch, you know, how you go about looking at long-term planning.
When I talk about sustainability, you know, with Measure Z, a part that that comes is maintaining meaningful wages for deputy sheriffs and law enforcement. I know we're not the only individuals that need to be sustained, right? There's a big umbrella there of things that go into support and what that looks like. When I talk about sustainability, is what about the next year and the year after and the year after? Because our biggest challenge, BJ, has been just staying competitive with our neighboring counties like Calaveras and Mariposa, which we are already falling very much so behind in both those arenas. So Measure Z, when I talk about forward sustainability, really looks to how we stay competitive to retain the staff that we have. Because once you assume this role as a deputy sheriff and you protect the community, there's a certain level of fulfillment that goes into that. However, when it gets to the point where you're having quality of life issues with how you can provide for your family and all those things, well, it forces people to make decisions that we saw very clearly just a few years ago where we were losing people to other industries. It wasn't just neighboring agencies. That was the biggest challenge. So moving forward into the future, that's what the sustainability aspect of Measure Z would have brought. But again, I think it requires our best efforts, my best efforts for sure, on behalf of the people to ensure that if staffing levels start to decrease, I will not leave communities hanging. That's not going to happen. We will fight tooth and nail. I look at communities like the Upper 108 Corridor and Groveland that went without deputy representation in those areas for years. So when we start taking away from those supplemental services to make a robust 911 response, which we need to have, the county doesn't win. Because a lot of those collateral assignments we're paying for with special departmental revenue. So you actually pay twice and get less, which is why we've structured our budget the way that we have, which is part of the reason why we remained funded to the level that we did. So moving forward, I think this board is looking at that. And I know that there's some changes coming, you know, to that board. And I believe that there's probably a shared vision there and what that looks like. Because I think that we're starting to take it seriously as what it means to protect our community by funding the sheriff's office, funding our justice system, and fire included in roads. Those are all priorities of people, and they want to see those prioritized.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Sheriff Vasquez on this weekend's Mother Lode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Mother Lode Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We're talking public safety issues with Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez on this weekend's Mother Lode Views. Sheriff Vasquez, we ended the last segment talking a little bit about the budget challenges, so I'll pose a question. Anything else you want to add on that, and then just any other topics in general that are just top of mind here in these final few minutes?
Sure. Yeah, just where we left off is, you know, talking about, you know, sustainability and what that looks like, and, you know, a little bit about Measure Z and you know, it failing. I think that, you know, just to kind of end that last part is, you know, it affects labor contracts. It affects what negotiations look like, not just for, you know, the sheriff's office, but everybody else that's struggling to make it. You know, we heard a little bit of a narrative at the last board meeting that we have real problems across the board. And none of those should be marginalized. And I don't think that our people are saying that that should be the case either. I think we have to really define what priority means. And, you know, that's some of the challenges that comes with, you know, that failing measure. But, you know, on a positive note, you know, it's important that we, that people always know where I stand for safety, BJ. And that is, I will always advocate for a fully funded sheriff's office, because we know what it looks like when we are underfunded or not funded, and we are making some good headway. I'm grateful for the support that we've had in my time in office, and the changes that we've been able to make and how we serve the community. We're making headway with 911. We have a contingency plan that is spearheading moving to more sustainable infrastructure while we still pursue work at the Dambacher location as well until we get consent for that. So the future is bright. I don't want people to be worried about what this looks like. Know that we will be advocating relentlessly to keep our community safe and ensure that the community safety is prioritized accordingly. And it will be a whole community effort, but they're worth it. And I just real quickly, it's November. I would be remiss to not say how grateful I am for the men and women of our armed forces who protect this great nation. I am thankful for them. And for all the Marines out there listening, happy birthday. Happy 249.
Also, I want to ask you real quick, school resource officers, is that still a priority?
It is a priority. It absolutely is a priority, and we are working diligently to hopefully get that done. Those are timelines that come in with how fast we can have people navigate the training process. We had a couple of hiccups in there with some of our applicants, but they're great people, and they're doing good work, and we're hoping to have more news on that coming up shortly, because the schools need that level of education. They need to see their deputy sheriffs. They're engaging them in a meaningful way about, you know, drugs, about nicotine, about vapes, about, you know, behavior, social media, text messaging, things that are inappropriate, just that all around educational component that supplements narcotic enforcement as well in this county. And they just need the extra support right now with the increase of calls for service that we see on school campuses.
You know, still less than a year on the job as sheriff, how has the transition gone for you?
I feel it's been very meaningful. It has been great. I'm glad that we hit the ground running. I wouldn't have had it any other way. I have the best team that there is here, and not just within the sheriff's office, but, you know, the other partners of people who support us. We can't do this alone. I mean, that's everybody. I talk about it all the time at the board meetings. I'm always, I think gratitude is how we always have to start the conversation. And that is, there's a lot of other services that we can't do our job without them as well. And while we may have some challenging times coming ahead in our county, Tuolumne County is strong, and we have to stay united together to make sure that we get through this. It won't be the first time we've had tough times, and it certainly won't be the last, but we will get there.
Well, Sheriff Vasquez, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on Mother Lode Views.
Thank you so much, BJ. It's a pleasure.
Again, that was Tuolumne County Sheriff David Vasquez getting us up to speed on everything related to law enforcement locally in Tuolumne County. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Mother Lode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.